Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at UH1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and I'm excited to talk about news. I'm not excited that Jennifer Landa is still on vacation. Well, I'm excited for Jennifer and bummed for us because we miss Jennifer, but she will be back soon.
We do. We know you all do as well, but she's taking a well-deserved vacation. Yeah, we're rooting for her vacation. We're also rooting for her to be back here on our Star Wars news show.
Exactly.
We can live in both worlds. As we are saying, this is our Star Wars news show. Breaking news from a long time ago. We're going to get to some wonderful news from San Diego Comic-Con. Not as much Star Wars news as you'd think, or maybe that's kind of what you expected because D23 is around the corner. We just said Star Wars Celebration. But we're going to talk about some cool toy news, some Andor details, and exciting casting confirmation that emerged. So if you are a fan of Amanda Stenberg, or The Acolyte, which is not coming out yet for a bit, but you're already a fan. Don't worry, we got your news coming up here in a bit. Before we do that, we'll remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we'll have our 4center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Life Adventures, Star Wars Adventures. I was down in San Diego, not exactly attending the convention, but was there performing and drinking and hanging out, having fun. So I'll catch you all up on some of that stuff. But Joseph, while I was away partying, were you Were you celebrating in your own way at home?
It's always a small, quiet party in my home. A little couch con every weekend. No, I can't wait to hear about all the details of your being San Diego Comic-Con adjacent. You could probably see the convention, smell the bay, but didn't actually go in, right?
Yeah. Did not cross the train track to the convention center this year, which was a weird feeling, but yes.
Very, very weird. Yeah, no, I had a lot of great things this week, and I had some difficult things as well. You know, some life stuff, some career stuff. It's normal for all of us to have the ups and downs, but I had some that just really got under my skin. Mm. And they built up, you know, a bunch of little things built up, you know.
Yeah.
I think we both try to be calm and Jedi-like on the podcast because that's what we want to put out in the world. Yeah. But we always want to be honest that we're human and we get angry.
Yeah.
And I got real angry. Like, I didn't realize how angry I was. Like, I was like, it's fine. It's fine. Stuff it down. And no one thing. Yeah. But it got in that like cycle of anger where you'd like be mulling over things. And then you would like kind of yell at your own brain of like, it's not important. It's not the big picture. Focus on the positive. Focus on the positive, damn it. And then you think about something else for 1 second, and then the things that are making me angry creep back in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got into one of those cycles, and that was like Friday night. Saturday, I went to sleep, and it was so weird. Like, I slept really deep, maybe better than I have in a long time. And then I woke up at 5 o'clock just with anger. Like, anger was the alarm clock. And it was like, my body's like, time to get up and be angry again. And then the point of all this is that Star Wars swooped in and helped me so much. So it's 5 a.m. and it's just like, I'm not going to fall back asleep. I'm going to get up. I need to try to let this go. And I got up and I made coffee and I had another book I'm reading. But this new Star Wars book that's coming out, The Princess and the Scoundrel by Beth Revis, had arrived. And I was like, I'll just open it up and look at it. I'm looking forward to reading this one, but I want to finish this other book. My coffee's brewing and I open it up. And I just start reading the first paragraph, and it was no thoughts of, I got to review this, no thoughts of who's going to think what, blah, blah, blah. It was just the magic of Star Wars grabbed me, like, by the chest in my soul. And I sat down and read, like, the first 100 pages, just straight.
Wow.
And I think today, as we're releasing this episode, is the embargo. I'm not going to say any spoilers. The spoiler is, I am loving this book. It just feels like these characters that we've known and loved for decades speaking to me. It was so good. It was so just like, I felt like a kid. And I felt like Return of the Jedi was just kept rolling. After the party, and the story continued. And it was such a moment of just pure Star Wars joy that it really helped me recenter. And get past the cycle of frustration. So that's kind of a book review, but a very honest life in Star Wars adventure. It really felt like Star Wars was there for me when I needed it to find that just burst of fun and joy and enthusiasm and curiosity and everything that Star Wars can provide.
I love that. I absolutely love that. We're going to be taking a look at that book, I suppose, here. I know that book, when it was announced, there was some pushback on the concepts around it and what it might be related to with the hotel and whatnot. But I have a lot of faith in Beth Revis as a Star Wars writer. So I have it, too. I haven't started reading, but I'm going to hopefully follow you down that joyful journey.
Yeah, no. And I hope people enjoy it as much as I do. But, you know, I know everybody's different. But yeah, I loved Rebel Rising. I still feel like that book doesn't get quite the amount of love as it deserves. I think Beth Revis is just amazing. And this one really drew me in, too. So I think give it a chance is my suggestion. But I want to hear about your non-book reading adventures.
here was the thing about Comic-Con. In terms of Star Wars news, like I said, we're going to talk about today. You know, none, I don't think anyone was expecting. There was no Disney Lucasfilm panel. We just had Star Wars Celebration. We know D23 is coming, and you absolutely got to think they're holding some stuff back for that event. And I think that's the same with Marvel, too, despite Hall H being such an important thing historically for Marvel. And that's, Marvel Center will cover that, wherever Marvel Center is. Great panel. Wonderful stuff. But yeah, so I wasn't down there to get any news, wasn't down there to cover any news. Had the comedy show on Thursday night at the American Comedy Company. Went really well. Got to meet a Force Center listener named Aaron. Love those kind of interactions. He was great. So that's always good. But yeah, no, it was just mostly, you know, getting into parties, which is such a weird thing for a high school nerd or a junior high nerd who never went to parties, never got invites. It's always such a weird battle. Comic-Con, it's all weekend and all the actually weeks leading up to it. It's like, are you on that list? Are you on that list? You're on that list. And this year, you know, Joseph, I was on one because our friend of the show, Billy Patterson, graciously put me on the fandom party. I wasn't even going to go. Because I didn't have a plus one, and Grace was with me, and my friend Jen Murrow was with it. She was on the list either. I didn't have a name. My name wasn't on the list for the Nerdist party. I just let it all go. I just said, we're just going to walk around downtown and see where the force leads us. And it led us to both parties, and it led us to everyone getting in, and it led us to just having a great time. All that to say, partying is fun and everything. It's certainly not everything in life. But this year, this Comic-Con, it was the first one since 2019, and yes, there's still there's still a little thing hanging over all this, still that whole pandemic thing. Still, that was always the worry was always in the air. And at the time of this recording, we'll see how many people come on down with the COVID virus. You got to be careful. It's a weird spot, right? It's a weird spot.
Sorry, you'll start not laughing at COVID, laughing at your come on down like the Price is Right.
Come on down. Who caught it? You'll start seeing these posts emerge, you know, the double lines. You'll start seeing them emerge. Some have already emerged. So far, knock on wood, feel pretty good and all that good stuff, but tried to take as many precautions as possible. But all that to say, I address the negative to get to the positive. Because this industry, the movie talking, movie covering space we're kind of in and adjacent to, Joseph, like it was, you could feel the energy, the difference of this year. I kept saying it was like 2014, 2015 Comic-Con, where a lot of our circle was yet to get the big Hall H jobs or I work for this outlet. We're all just crazy kids trying to make it, right? Some of us older than kids. And this year had that sense of community, and not to equate it to fighting to save the galaxy, but there was a lot of joy this year. I haven't seen you in years. I had a great interaction with Maude Garrett, who I had not actually physically seen in years, former Jedi Alliance co-host. And we had a good catch-up session and a lot of people like that. And even though some of them live down the street in town here, you just don't see these folks. And it just felt, even with some of the bigger things hanging over us, including the state of the world, we might add, it just felt good to have a sense of community, that feeling of there are more of us. And I love that. And that was one thing I connected to and took from the event. And yes, cool parties are cool parties. They're not all they're cracked up to be, kids, but they're a lot of fun. But more importantly, this time around, it wasn't just fun. It was like genuinely seeing people and having a smile on our faces as we caught up and remembered how we all were years ago before different jobs and things pulled everyone in different directions. So that was the lasting lesson of Comic-Con this year for me, the Star Wars feeling of community.
Oh, that's great. And yeah, and I think you're really responding to like a specific, very large group of people that have been your social circle and your work circle for years, right?
Yeah.
So being able to reconnect with them in a place of fun and in community makes total sense that, you know, obviously this is the first big return for Comic-Con, and at its best, Comic-Con is absolutely about community, right? If we all like these different things, there's going to be announcements. We're going to all have fun together. It should be about community. And I think for a lot of people, it successfully is. But if you do get trapped in that, like, it's like you collect them all and it's just status.
Yeah.
To get into parties. And I've definitely been in some parties where I doesn't feel like anybody's having fun. It just like everybody just wanted to be able to tweet that they were at this party. And then you end up at other parties where it's like, hey, this is a party, you know, where friends talk to one another about things that we like, and then we laugh and have fun in community. Yeah. The reason to have a party, you know, and that is so joyful when you have that true experience of what it should be, of a celebration of community. So I'm really glad that you got to have that energy and that experience.
Yeah. Yeah. No, look, you know, this is a longer conversation in a different podcast, Philosophy Center. Yeah, it's been what you're talking about is dark side versus light side on this of your life, of your job, of your career. And the last couple of years, that's the feeling I had. So 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019 Comic Cons, a lot of fun. I always get to do wonderful things. But there was that sense of, well, we better go and we better take a picture here so it can prove that we are here and we can build our clout. Darks, power, unlimited party power. And that could be the downside of any job, of any industry, where you have to kind of show your face, be at the 9 a.m. meeting, all those kind of things. It was nice to get back to the joy. So, we'll have a deeper conversation about all that there. But a lot of fun. I do wish there was more Star Wars news, bigger news to come out of this. But patience. We'll have our day again with D23 around the corner. But we do have something to discuss. So,
yes. Unlimited Instagram
opportunities. Unlimited Instagram. Always say a good party is when you leave and you go, we didn't take any pictures.
Yeah. Well, we just talked to friends and that was lovely too. Nothing wrong with pictures, but yeah, great stuff.
There you go. All right. On to Star Wars news. We do want to talk a little bit about some of the news to emerge out of San Diego Comic-Con, including the San Diego Comic-Con Toy News Bonanza. It's been a while since we've discussed toy news. I was trying to think of last time. Might have even been when Jennifer was anchoring the news back in the day. But Hasbro revealed several new figures at San Diego Comic-Con. These are just some highlights. There's a lot on the list. So if I leave anything off, Joseph, feel free to toss it in if it's something that reached out to you. We got our first look at a Star Wars Jedi Survivor, in a way, with a new Cal Kestis 6-inch Black Series Vintage Collection. We also got a KX Series Security Droid and a B1 Battle Droid. These look to be from the game forthcoming Jedi Survivor, the Fallen Order sequel. We got a new Grogu in 6-inch scale, which includes space macaroons, little tiny space macaroons. Jedi Luke Skywalker from Mando, but this one's called Luke Skywalker Imperial Light Cruiser. Put a pin in that. I got to get your thoughts on that in a second. A vintage collection Boba Fett and his starship playset looks great. And the Mandalorian credit collection line, a line of figures, which a lot of great figures like Bo-Katan. We got also in there a Tusken Raider. A lot of that stuff looks great. And a Kenner Retro New Hope collection, which includes old Ben Kenobi and vinyl cape. Joseph, anything there on your purchase list? And what do you think about Luke Skywalker Imperial Light Cruiser?
This was an interesting toy drop. They, you know, the way they do it is obviously they try to, you know, create splashes at lots of different events, Hasbro, including their own events, including Comic-Con, you know, on and on the different conventions. So it's always interesting to see kind of like what mix of things do they reveal and kind of leave for the next time. The Cal Kestis is a 6-inch Black Series and then a 3 3/4 vintage. So both from both lines. That is in some ways, I'm probably not running out to buy it personally, just because I'm trying to moderate my collection somewhat. Yeah. But that was really cool to see. How many times have we seen something from an upcoming piece of Star Wars storytelling leaked from a Lego description or a Lego photo or maybe an action figure? It was great to see an actual official reveal from the action figure of, hey, everybody, this is what Cal's going to look like in that follow-up video game, Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Yeah.
And it has just launched a bunch of great, great conversation about, like, emotionally, what does it mean to go from a poncho to a vest? Does that mean you're doing worse in life? Are ponchos better? Is he being more himself because he's a vest and he's not hiding behind a poncho anymore? Or does he look a little bit more like rugged and like he's been through some bleep? But it's also just fun to see the actual absurdity of, like, it's a cool action figure. It's a cool outfit. Cal looks great. Glad BD-1 is there. But to basically see an action figure months in advance before a video game comes out and know because of the action figure that there will probably be a function in the video game where you can collect different vests to wear.
Yes. Yes. Very much like it's you go to the outfitters at Red Dead Redemption 2. What color vest do you want in Pocket Watch? This is great insight. This is also so much of the insight you provide on your unboxing, not unboxing series on TikTok. I suggest you all find Joseph on there to get the same kind of fun insight into the figures. So I really like that. And I think it's like the first game was high school Cal, and this is like 2 years into college Cal, where he's gone through an outfit switch. He's kind of like, I can't believe I wore a poncho my senior year in high school. Oh, what statement was I trying to make?
Yeah, Cal has had a few breakups in some run-ins with the law. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's all adult now. Not like he didn't in the first one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. How do you I want to talk about Luke for sure, but I'm curious any thoughts you have on Cal.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I have somewhat of a complicated relationship with Fallen Order. I want to be clear. We never aim to take away anyone's joy. And I love the game. I love the story. I love the trauma themes. I love the characters, designs, the worlds. So many things I love. I just had such a weird experience with the gameplay that I sometimes get lost in that. And I always tease, Alex Damon, who loves the game with all his heart. I hope he takes as a loving tease some of the things about the game. I'm still stuck on Ilum on my replay. So I just have this like, hey, I can't wait for the Survivor to come out. I'm going to play it. I hope I love it even more than I love the first game. I hope everyone loves it. I hope it's great. So it all was kind of a patient feeling mixed with when I saw the figures and went like, oh, okay. Just, that was it. Oh, there's a battle droid. Oh, there's a K2SO's pals going to be in there. Maybe he kills me or maybe he tries to help me. I don't know. But I do like the updated version of Cal. He looks a little older, like a little beard coming in, right? Like he's doing the, like we were talking about the high school versus college. He's going to try a beard on for size. So love all of it. It's not a negative feeling. It's just kind of like, I'm patiently waiting, which I got to tell you is sometimes I'm so like, I'm like a kid on Christmas morning for The Acolyte and Ahsoka and all these shows that are a long time off that we're going to be waiting for. So I think it's nice to have one little section of the Star Wars world where I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to see what comes my way. Figures look great. Concepts look great. BD-1 looks awesome and cute. And I'll get there when I get there.
Yeah, no, I understand. I feel like I really like the video game and there are parts of the gameplay that I really like. I think all the lightsaber mechanics work really well. It's not my personal favorite to have those maps that it's hard that kind of lead you narratively through them. And it works great the first time. But then I find them extremely difficult and frustrating to wander around after the fact.
Yes.
So that is a frustration for me because it's not my favorite video game style. But it's still fun to see these reveals in action figure form, including. There's this B1 from Jedi Survivor, B1 Battle Droid with some cool paint. There's a six inch black series of that. And I don't necessarily need the figure, but I'm happy to know that he's in the video game. And I can't wait to have to purchase a PlayStation 5 and then play this video game on absolute simplest story mode because I have nothing to prove and I want to be there for the story.
Yeah.
So to go back to Luke Skywalker, this is so exciting. This is so thrilling, but also weird. I know there are differences in the mold, right? There's for sure differences in the mold in all the various different, Return of the Jedi, Jedi Knight, Luke Skywalkers we've got over the years. Some are this earlier version where he has this sort of cloth over his chest. Some are the ones where he doesn't later in the film and all that. So it's so thrilling to have this action figure. But the actual figure is like, yeah, that's Luke.
Right.
From Return of the Jedi. So in some ways, I feel justified in my belief that the package is a part of the whole. It is a part of what makes the action figure beautiful. And anybody who chooses to open figures and pose them, I got no beef with you. I'm just talking about my approach. I do open some of my action figures, but one of the main reasons I don't is I love the package art. The package art is a part of the story of these figures, of the moment they came out, of what they're celebrating. And this particular one, I'm going to buy this action figure for the package, for the fact that it's Luke from the final episode of season 2 of The Mandalorian, for the shot of him that's on the package. I'm buying the package, and the action figure itself is a bonus. Maybe I'm weird, but that's my truth.
No, I think that's absolutely right. And there was even some kind of discussion in our Force Center Discord this past week over some of the toys. And we know they're moving to non-plastic packaging for some of the figures and whatnot and how that might change the relationship to the Black Series. You know, what are you displaying? And I mean, do you need to take the figures out? I mean, just to even see if it's in a box, you don't even see what the figure is that you bought, even though there's some maybe, bigger, more important issues to worry about in terms of plastic, no plastic. But I get some of it because I'm right there with you. Because I always say this, like I have so many Funko Pops. And it's like, Ken, do you love Funko Pops? Not really. I love the packaging. It just pulls me in every time. Especially like Star Wars and Game of Thrones is one thing, but like Tombstone Funkos, I get Wyatt Earp and Funko. Look at that package. It looks so great. So I'm with you on it. And as far as the Luke, I'm obsessed with that's the title of it. The Imperial Light Cruiser. It's such an old Kenner kind of vibe that it's not, you know, the rescue of Grogu or anything kind of big and dramatic. It's just like Luke Skywalker, you know, that time he was on an Imperial Light Cruiser. Oh yeah. That scene.
It really cracks me up because there's usually, you know, this attempt to define what's different about it. And when we were growing up with the original Kenner, it was almost always, you know, their actual outfits, right? You know, with Bespin fatigues, with Luke Skywalker, Bespin fatigues, right? And he's not wearing anything drastically different. No. They get me Luke Skywalker, slightly lighter cloak. So they have to talk about where he's from, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It could just be Jedi Master, you know, Grogu rescuing mood.
Yeah. Luke Skywalker doesn't care about your battle, just wants the kid scene. Yeah. All these things. But I love it.
Trooper Destroyer.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Dark's Trooper battle. That was something like that. Cause they got the Lego set that I'm contemplating getting. I've kind of slowed my Lego collection too for space reasons, but they have that Lego scene. But one thing that I definitely want to ask you about, cause you know, I know Luke's so big on your list, right? You just being a Luke guy among, you know, Kenobi and, you know, quite frankly, it's Star Wars. We're here for all Star Wars characters, but, you know.
Luke was my guy growing up forever.
Yeah. So it means a lot to get new Luke figures to you, I know. But I had the reaction when I saw it. I just kind of went like, again, I guess it's my day to look at figures and go, all right. But really, I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, no, it's Jedi Luke. I get it. I don't know if I'll need that one for my collection. And then I thought, you know, it's like, cause my head was like, well, we've already seen that. And then I thought to myself, hey, dummy, you have 19 Darth Vaders and not a lot of changes. You could tell yourself it's the Rogue One version, you know, it's the New Hope version.
Sometimes his helmet lens is a slightly different color. His helmet fins are slightly longer. Sometimes he's got the cloth a little bit more.
Yep, but here it is. You know, I've even seen some of the Vaders recently, and I'm like, oh yeah, definitely have to get that Vader. It's like, I'm just collecting the same dude over and over. So Luke, go rescue Grogu, and you deserve a figure for it.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting the Vader from the Kenobi series because his little subtitle to differentiate him is Dark Times. So it kind of reads as Darth Vader. Heavy mood today, man. Like. Dark times, Vader. Yeah, I know. Like, I just want his head to hang. Yeah.
It's a Springsteen song. There were dark times down in the galaxy.
It really does look like that it is his album title, Darth Vader, with his hit album, Dark Times.
Come on up for redemption.
Dragging my friend through the fire. Yeah, so I am going to get this, Luke, but my main true honest emotional reaction is I can't wait until a year from now, however long it takes, for them to make Jedi Master Luke Skywalker Ossus Jedi Temple. I want the Luke from Book of Boba Fett because he actually has a different outfit.
He's got
his relaxing meditation shirt. I want Luke Skywalker with relaxing meditation shirt. Like, this one's great. I'm going to buy them in the vintage form.
Yeah.
But partially to vote for them to make Luke Skywalker with relaxing meditation shirt from Book of Boba Fett.
It's like Luke went to visit the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi in the 60s. He went to retreat. He got this nice shirt. He's like, look, this helps me relax. I'm connecting. Yeah. Love that. You're absolutely right. That went through my head. Like, well, that Luke's different.
Like this one more if he came with Grogu? I mean, they're selling so many Grogu figures or deluxe figures that are a cool figure, but also it comes with Grogu. Would that have been Grogu overkill? Or for you, would it have more celebrated the appearance of Luke if you could also have him, like, cradle Grogu?
I think Grogu overkill is an interesting concept because I can understand that if someone says we've reached that point. I'm not there yet personally. Same with Porgs, right? I still think Porg merch is cute. There's a lot less these days, but I still like it. So I that 6-inch scale Blexus Grogu leg with all the other accoutrements there. Like, I love that. So I think that might be what it's missing for me.
Maybe. I think that would make it feel more unique because Luke's outfit isn't that different. I'm sure there are many differences in the mold. If you really dive into the details, I know it is different, but just on a casual look, it is his Return of the Jedi outfit. Maybe it would make me celebrate that moment more. Yeah, and I don't think there's Grogu overkill. It's just obviously money is a reality with the toys, which is why you see lots of efforts to, you know, new troopers with different paints, or even like that whole coin collection is to kind of repackage the action figures with something different. You know, they're trying to make as many products as possible. And just Grogu is a great upsell, right? Instead of just selling an incinerator flame trooper, they sell a deluxe package that comes with a Grogu pushing the flames back, right? There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. It's just that they know like a way to help revitalize some things is throw a Grogu on it.
That's a great Portlandia sketch. Throw a Grogu on it. I agree with you on it. Yeah, I agree with you. And we want more Star Wars figures out there. We know the industry's changed. The landscape of collectors and the collecting world has changed. Totally get it. So that's why this news was exciting. That's why I wanted to cover it. It was to get kind of a SDCC figure news dump. Was actually kind of like old school fun for me. Yeah. Even though some of the figures, and I like it, but I got to say the one to go with it, go wherever you want to go in the conversation to Joseph Eftis, but the Kenner Retro New Hope Collection, that one, I don't know. I might have some shelf space I need to clear for that one. I just really love that one. I love that vibe. Attaches totally to my nostalgia. Of course. That's the point, but
It's really great. So like I physically picked up the first version of this because they did the boxed version of this with the first half of that original Kenner line. And then this box is the follow up, the second half.
Right.
And I'm deeply tempted by both of them. They had a bunch at Disneyland when we were all there for Star Wars Celebration. And I picked it up three times. I was like, no.
Right.
So that one is really, really tempting. I do also, I like the Grogu, I like the hubris of him floating in the middle of that massive package for a 6-inch figure, coming with some of the things that he's come with before, but now with cookies in the Mythosaur necklace. Like, I might spend whatever obscene amount of money just for the cookies. I might.
Yeah. I think it's fair. And then eventually we're going to get teenage looking Grogu, right? I know they're going to age him up eventually. It's going to be a little shocking. It's going to be like a sitcom where the kids come back all grown up, but that's going to be a new round of Grogu merch. We'll see if it sells as much.
Yeah, absolutely. Final one for me that I wanted to mention, because I think I might pick up. They've done the weird holiday figures before for like the December Happy Times holidays. These new Halloween ones, they're bonkers, right? I don't know if there's the one I want is there's a clone trooper that barely even looks like a clone trooper because the trooper has like a skeleton painted over their armor. So I'm like, a quick glance, you wouldn't even necessarily see the clone armor. So that by itself is pretty great, pretty weird. But it comes with, as we were talking about, a little Porg. But the Porg has yellow possessed eyes.
Right. Yes.
And I need that in my life.
Yeah, I don't generally go for these, the holiday theme ones. But yeah, and Halloween's lower on my list of holidays in my own life. But the skeleton trooper like almost looked legit. I was like, well, is this from a video game too? Which one's this one?
Yeah, these are just the sort of the bonkers ones too. That like 10 years from now, people will have forgot that these were made, and you know, collectors will be like, remember when they made this? And people will be like, what? Why?
Yeah.
So very excited about that one.
Very exciting indeed. So more figures to emerge. I like all the Boba Fett ones. There's a lot of cool things. Axe Wove's getting a character. It's fun, and it's still, even though I don't collect actively as much anymore. It's just I like when characters get their due and you get to see someone else, an actor getting excited over their face in plastic for eternity. It's a fun thing. And it's always tied to the center of our Star Wars love, merchandise, toys, collecting and showing the world what we love. We'll keep updated if there's any new big figures we want to talk about. Another thing that emerged at San Diego Comic-Con is what I call a Disney era Star Wars tradition. Small details being slipped into cool costume and prop displays. this is something that going back to 2014 started to really happen, and it did happen before in the other, in the early days of Comic-Con. I don't know. I wasn't there partying, so I don't know. Maybe someone can tell me, but I love this thing here, and it was no different at SDCC 2022 with some minor info emerging for Andor. First, the world got to see the cool Star Wars trench coat-based design for Andor by Michael Wilkinson, and the news that Andor must undertake a dangerous mission to a new planet called Aldalani or Aldani. We'll wait to see how that's mispronounced by different characters in the story. Aldhani. Aldhani? How do you say that, Joseph?
Let's see. Let me, Aldhani?
Aldhani. I added an A up top, which I do often. Aldhani. This is part of his joining the growing rebellion. So let's just go there. How does that sound to us?
Ooh, I really liked this information, and I agree with you. I love this tradition. I will never forget. I think it was the Star Wars celebration of 2015, just looking at some displays and learning it was the First Order. Not the Empire, right. The First Order. And it was just little there on a plaque. Amazing. So I love these little details coming out like this. I think that happened with Rogue One as well. There's some details about, like, Krennic. That Krennic? Was on his costume. And
Two tubes?
Two tubes? Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huge major stuff, but I love the excitement that there's been over the weekend just about his cool new jacket. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you ask Star Wars fans, do you think Andor's gonna have a cool new jacket? Everybody probably would have said, well, yeah, but it was nice to have it confirmed since cool jackets are a huge part of the Star Wars tradition. But this text that was with the costume, I'm really excited about. I think because it sounds so proactive. I was excited to have the news come out that this is going to be at least partially a story of Andor being reluctant to join, being in a little bit of a cynical or nihilistic headspace, and then really coming to believe in the rebellion. I like that idea, but the risk of that idea is you spend a lot of time with a character who is unwilling to take action. So this text sort of assured me, don't worry.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, you know, 6 episodes out of 12 of Cassian Andor refusing the call, but that he's going to get in there, right? And, and actually take an action, be on a mission. And I really like, as part of his entry into the growing rebellion, maybe it's reading too much into it, but it really does suggest that, like, prove yourself. You know, here's your test. Here's your baptism of fire. Go, kid. Yeah. That sounds really exciting. Might be reading too much into it, but that's where my mind goes.
Yeah, it also could be, you know, Crix Madine with the Billy Club going, you got to do this so you don't get in the group here. All right, Dad.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, but I'm with you on that. You know, we wouldn't expect it to be like this, but we wouldn't want, you know, 9 episodes of Andor going, I'm good. I'm good. We need to move it forward, and I agree with that. And that must, that's a heavy word, right? That reason could be so many different things. We know his family's tied to some of this. We know this community that he's emerging from and going to a planet to help, or all those kind of things. It's just so Star Wars. We just thought Kenobi need to leave and all those kind of things. But it is about what you're talking about, action. And the purpose for the action. And that's just exciting. I don't know. There's something, it was such a small detail. I didn't get a chance to see it in person because I did not cross those train tracks to the convention hall, but I don't know. It made me laugh because it is a Star Wars tradition going back to even Kira's speeder instead of Rey's speeder. Early cons there. And it's just fun. And I love that they do that. And it got me hyped for the series, but that's not all, Joseph. So any final thoughts on that coat or the information?
No, coat's great, and I can't wait to see that coat go on a mission.
That's a great coat. Next, one of Mon Mothma's ensembles was on display in a confirmation that she will be navigating the dangerous political shadows on Coruscant while building the rebellion. Now, I like this one. No, again, I wouldn't call this a surprise, but just this, like, no, we are spending some time on Coruscant. We're spending some time in these so-called political shadows, and she's doing what we all want her to do and know she is doing, building the rebellion. It's something that just was like, I'll call it confirmation, joyful confirmation of what we're going to get with Mon Mothma. So I loved it there. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm super excited about some of the confirmation in that text. I really like the outfit. I like that it is of, you know, Mon Mothma's general style, but it looks a little bit more elaborate, a little bit more fancy, a long sleeve and either short sleeve or no sleeve. A little conflict and duality right there in the dress, but cool style. So the actual gown is great, but it's just really great to see this hardcore on the text confirmation about the kind of storytelling that Mon Mothma will be involved in, that sort of the political intrigue, in the really dangerous political intrigue. I keep getting excited about like the idea of a scene at a party, right? And if she's seen talking to the wrong person, if somebody sees her pick up the wrong data pad, eat, you know, the wrong hors d'oeuvre that is secretly a part of a code, that people could die. Like that kind of political intrigue tension, I'm really excited about for the storytelling. And with the confirmation of Coruscant, I guess another confirmation, because I feel like we see it in the trailer that we've seen, my mind is really going to which what characters we might see. Obviously, I think there's going to be plenty of new characters in the political spectrum on Coruscant that there's no reason for us to have met before. But I am also really interested, not in the like, oh, who do I want to cameo? Who could cameo? But more that like, given what we know of the era, who kind of should be there, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm thinking, you know, your Mos Amita, your Sly Moore, your Bail Organa, who I know has been heavily referenced, but like, Palpatine himself, even if it's just like a speech from afar, a hologram, whatever. Dare we dream of Orn Frita? You know, going back to the political realm of Coruscant, I do want to see some of those people, not, you know what I mean? Not because it's like a cameo or a checkbox, but because it's the shared universe, they would be there.
Yeah, no. Look, I get some of the discussions and discourse around the cameo word, and sometimes, quite frankly, I find it nauseating and with bad faith. And other times, I think it's valuable to measure what's the value of these characters showing on up. You've listed off a long list of wonderful names. I'm predicting right here, right now, that episode 2 is about Representative Binks stepping down from his position. I think we need to see that there. But no, absolutely. We joke about our own little fun references, the Maydeans and the Dodonas of the world, but Rykant, any of those characters would be there in some fashion, whether they're, you know, opposing Mothma, whether they're colleagues in the Senate, or those in her own kind of shadows as she tries to build this rebellion. I think it's going to be a fun, you know, a fun a bingo game of who shows up, because they would be there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love your great Jar Jar point. We've talked a lot about how Rogue One is the more grounded, gritty side of Star Wars, and it looks like Andor is going to continue that tradition. So can you imagine if there's some very tense, very real political scene in the Senate, and then just in the background you hear a big whoops and Jar Jar just totally falls out of his Senate?
Look.
Spinner.
Look. We love Jar Jar. We love it, Ed. And I think everyone knows we love it. So this is not done with any kind of cynicism. Like, I would love it. I would also love the idea of Tony, of them going to Tony Gilroy and going, all right, cool. You know, would you want to include Jar Jar in your story? And him going, yes, absolutely. Or him going, what's a Jar Jar? Just like, huh? But you know, if I had a day to be in charge of Star Wars Disney, this would be the type of story I would want Jar Jar to make a return in, because it would be played seriously, and you maybe people look at him in a different light. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Rio Chuchi. That's another deep cut from the political realm, from the Clone Wars. I think what I'm really interested in these characters is like you said, with the whole discussion over characters coming back, there can be that discussion of, oh, well, Luke Skywalker had to come back because they really want to up the ratings, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
If Mos Amita shows up, no one's going to argue, they just had to shove fan favorite Mos Amita in. Like, I know hardcore, intense fans like us might be like, amazing Mos Amita, but it's not like Luke or Leia, right?
No, absolutely. Look, and we know there's been words of Saw Gerrera. Tarkin wouldn't be out of place. There's all these names that are so key to the story, but we'll see. And also, I'm excited. Like you said, there's going to be a ton of new ones we're going to learn about, too.
Yeah, Yeah.
And finally, we know more of B2 Emo. B2, or B, is an old ground mech salvage assist droid that has been working for the Andor family for years. What do we like about that? This, dare I say, a family pet of sorts for Cassian Andor.
Oh, there's so much alike about this, including B2 Emo's name. I love that with a name like B2 Emo, which they have to know what they were doing. They're like, but people call this droid B2 or B. Like, Emo's sitting right there. Come on. We'll see what the fan base calls him. I think the fan base or calls them. We don't know what the droid's designation is. But the ground mech salvage assistant, that is really, really interesting to me, because we don't necessarily know a ton about the Andor family yet. But if they have a droid that's job is involving something, you know, kind of specific and industrial, like mm-hmm. salvage, you know, to me that, or hauling scrap, that suggests a possible story of Andor's family being professionals, builders, you know, workers, having a trade with a long tradition, if this droid has been with them for a long time. And since we know Andor's life and family is disrupted by the Empire, I'm just really excited about the possibility of that storytelling. I feel like we got mm-hmm. hints of it with Han's dad on Corellia, with the Empire coming in and kind of taking over these proud jobs, these longstanding family traditions, and, you know, giving people no pay and pushing them out and taking over. There's a hint of that that's always floating around the edges of the Solo story. But it would be great to dive right into that. If the Andors have this, like, we are business people, we are proud workers, and that has been utterly violated by the Empire, that would be fascinating.
Yeah, you and I have the same mind there, where it just signifies that how the story, you know, this story starting out in any way, shape, or form with Andor's family and how things start happening to them and his, you know, community around him. That's very much at the center of the story. I love what you're saying about continuing this idea of the oppression of the Empire destroyed so many things and people and industries in so many different ways. And this could be part of it. I hope B2 goes on adventures, but even if he's just at the beginning, that it represents this thing. I think it's very key that this little bit of information is out there, that this is something that is a droid that's working for the Andor family for years. It's a long-standing business. It isn't a startup. It's been going on, and it's key to his family and probably key to him moving forward with that big must to go off-world or go somewhere else. So I love that. I love that.
In some key words that you and I usually like, old and weary is how B2 Emo is described. We like old and weary around these parts. I do also just want to quickly acknowledge the appearance of B2 Emo. I really love the design. I love the kind of crooked head and big eye that constantly kind of looks like the droid is raising one eyebrow and going, "You want me to do what?"
I know.
Very good, very old, very weary. I had a reaction that I saw a lot of people on the internet have, that it the design did remind me of the Vincent or Scent droid from Black Hole back in the day. And saw some chatter on social media that was not an intentional part of the design, but hey, these things happen sometimes. So I wanted to mention that.
That, yeah, I've buried Black Hole in a black hole of my soul because it scared me as a kid. That makes sense. I also love that now we have, you know, one of the things I think, and I might have even said it doing the initial trailer kind of not reaction, but breakdown around here, where we saw that droid and I thought it might have been a tank of some sort. Is that some cool transport tank? Oh, no, it's a little like knee high droid. Fascinating stuff there. Final thoughts on this. Do we like this Star Wars tradition here? The details are often found hidden in plain sight on the placards in front of con displays. Is that a fun Easter egg hunt in real life? A hidden Mickey of Star Wars information, if you will?
Yeah, I love it. I really, really do, because it's always like this where it's like, it's not like a huge revelation. It's almost more just like a little flavor that confirms something. Like that First Order thing was... that was kind of big. I mean, we knew that there were baddies who had either, you know, the Empire resurgent or emulated the Empire. So that was not huge, but also huge. And these are just great because They're just kind of flavor that spins the interpretation in a certain direction. So I love it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I don't know, in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about other ways in which Star Wars news comes out that sometimes makes me, I don't know, slightly frustrated. This is not one of them. This is fun. It's little bits of information, and it can, and it's exciting. And I think because the designs of Star Wars, you and I had such fun at that Mando kind of museum level display at Star Wars Celebration. Mm-hmm. There's so much to be taken out of them. There's so much, the skill that goes into these costume designs and all this stuff. It's fun for them to get their day in the sun. So if that includes a little bonus information, I'm cool with that as well.
Yeah, I think, sorry. Final thing you reminded me of like, I think part of it is, we get press releases, we get other things that we're going to talk about. Sometimes we just get a sudden tweet. And I think there is something about this that does feel like kids whispering to each other on the playground because they read something on the back of a trading card. There's something that feels a little pre-internet about it. Obviously, it spreads on the internet, but I think that's part of the reason that I like it, too.
I'm with you on that. It's an old school feel in a way. And I'm there for that. Cool. Cool indeed. And that jacket, speaking of cool, is really cool for you, Andor. I wonder if B2 Emo has a little jacket he wears as well. It's cold. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we got some Acolyte news to talk about. But before we do, we're going to have a Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do we have today?
We are still recommending Shadow of the Sith. I feel like I've been kind of moving on quick from sometimes we cover a book and then we stop recommending it. But that's a really, it's a big one, literally, physically. And it is also a big one story-wise. And we had a lot of fun discussing it. So if you have not caught up and you're the audiobook kind, we strongly encourage you checking out Shadow of the Sith by Adam Christopher.
To do so, all you have to do is download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, quick break. On the other side, we have Acolyte news and this day in Star Wars history. Stick around to Force Center.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which
is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back to Force Center. We're here looking at Star Wars news, and now we go to this bit of news that emerged from San Diego Comic-Con. It's a rumor no more. The Acolyte lead confirmed. Yes, well, there was no major Star Wars news at San Diego Comic-Con, and I'll say again, wasn't expecting any, so that's not being disappointed. That's just what it was. But during the event, actor Amanda Stenberg took to their Instagram page to confirm what was previously only a strong rumor. And I will add, it got a little confusing, I guess, because I was, you know, drinking a lot of white wine, which I normally don't do. Comic-Con. I know, and Joseph, maybe you could help me from a distance. The official Star Wars Twitter account, I think, did put something out, and it was a picture of Amanda, and they were standing with R2. I think that picture went out on their page, being Star Wars, but also on Amanda's Instagram. So I saw all their information first, I should say. And it got a little confusing of where it dropped first. Did you see? It doesn't matter. It does not matter. I just was slightly confused.
I think I saw their Instagram post first. And yes. I think that Amanda did release their Instagram post first. And then I went and checked the Star Wars feed.
Yes.
Because this is now my instinct when I see people spreading things of going, cool, what is the actual source? Is there any possibility people are taking this out of context? Star Wars, the official Star Wars Twitter feed said, join us in welcoming Amanda Stenberg to the Star Wars galaxy, # the Acolyte, and then linked to Amanda's Instagram post.
Yeah, and they had put on their page, next up, A Galaxy Far, Far Away. I'm so excited to finally announce I'm joining Star Wars. The Acolyte, honored is an understatement. May the Force be with you. There was also a great TikTok thing going around of Amanda kind of talking about their excitement and how they listen to podcasts and they're part of the fandom, and it just means a lot. And, you know, we always talk about that balance. I don't need every performer to just absolutely have loved Star Wars and grown up with it. It just doesn't need to be the case. But it's always fun for me. I go back to one of my first things of seeing John Boyega watching the Star Wars trailer with some pals, and they filmed it, and he got so excited, like jumped over the couch. And, you know, yes, it's the early days and so much other things happened, but I go back to that and how excited Boyega was. And just to see Amanda's face in this interview, this little TikTok thing, just is like, it's a great starting point, and I can't wait for them to take this journey there. So what do we think of this confirmation? We'd previously discussed this rumor. This was one of those pretty strong rumors reported on by the trades, which is why we kind of discussed it in the past. But here we are, Joseph. We're a couple years out from Acolyte, I believe, or a year and a half or so. I think they're starting production. But what do you think about this?
Yeah, no, I remember now talking about the rumor, and I'm excited for Amanda as a performer. I always forget that they played Rue in The Hunger Games. That's honestly really the only, I just haven't seen a lot of the other shows and movies, even though I watch so much movies and television. It's hard to keep up with it all. So I haven't seen a lot of their other performances. Rue was quite effective back in the day. So I'm really excited for Amanda as a performer. That TikTok, thank you for sending me that TikTok. You said, hey, we're going to be talking about it, so check this out.
Yeah.
What was really effective and powerful to me about that is it is just overflowing with honesty and enthusiasm, right?
Yeah.
Personally, I if somebody's truth is I always have been a Star Wars fan. If an actor's truth is, I want to immerse myself in Star Wars. If an actor's truth is, I really just focus on acting and the writer and the director tell me everything I need to know. I know my character and they'll tell me, you know, what a boggling is. I don't need to worry about it. Yeah. I don't care as long as it's the actor's truth.
Yeah.
And what I loved about this TikTok from Amandala is that they were saying, I decided to just become all in. I want to. I get up and I Star Wars all day.
Yeah.
I watch things. I read things. I listen to podcasts because I want to, because that's how I'm connecting to it, because that's the entry point for me. And the enthusiasm and the honesty and the passion was so clear in that TikTok, and that's what excited me. Not a checklist of this is how every actor should approach it, but seeing the honesty that this is how Amandala is choosing to approach it.
Yeah, and it syncs up really nice energy-wise to Leslie Headland, who we've been fans around these parts for a bit now. Just anytime Leslie talks about Star Wars, I just get nerd chills. I just think she speaks the same language as a lot of us fans. But on the flip side is we make jokes about Tony Gilroy, who probably is like, I don't know, I've seen like two Star Wars movies. I don't know, let me make this one. You know, that's a total joke, but like it both work, right? Both work. And I agree with your statement of hey, the truth and everything. It's powerful. I go to Game of Thrones a lot. I'm such a Stephen DeLane fan. Stannis Baratheon, he didn't know. he would turn to Liam Cunningham as Davos and be like, no, what does this all mean? you know, it's just the way it was. So Amandala's, what she's talking about, in that TikTok, it just syncs up really nicely to what I think the energy is going to be into the show, especially because it's such a potentially dark themed show. You're going to need some of the, we're going to find the light in it and find the character's place in this time period and all the stuff that Leslie Headland's been talking about. I don't know. There's something about that joy that I'm just pulled in by.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really, really good point that it's very clear that this dark side show is being made with love. And that's another thing I liked about the specific announcement, that there is some fun with the idea that the Acolyte is a dark side show. I love that Amandala is all in red and black.
Yeah, yeah.
With the old school looking Darth Maul art, posing with R2, but also lots of shots with Vader. It really is like, yeah, we're having fun with the dark side.
Yeah, and look, we're a ways away. This we know. So I don't think we want to do the over speculating route. We've heard a lot of great things from Leslie Headland about going to the Phantom Menace and building back to that, and how do we get to this position, and how are the Sith allowed to rise, and all that kind of stuff. I know a lot of folks are already putting pretty specific expectations out there, including what characters they would want to show up, and with Leslie saying, yeah, I read a lot of EU stuff, I'm familiar with a lot of it. That can create some wonderful passion expectations. So we're not here to stoke those flames quite yet. There will be a time where we will start running down a list, just like we were with Andor, of what characters might show up. Any thoughts now of what Amandala might bring to the show with their resume and who they are as a person? Is that factored? Any thoughts yet, Joseph, about your expectation for the show?
I think because I'm not as familiar with their more recent work, I don't feel like I know, like, is there a type that Amandala often gets cast as? And even if that happens, you can change it, right? But, I mean, that happens with lots of actors, If Kyle MacLachlan was showing up, I would have some ideas of the kind of character he might play. But he's an actor, and he could play anything. So there's that. I think it's more just the impact of seeing this performer who is young and enthusiastic, right? And already on their journey, but still, on the younger side of a journey in real life, in the scope of a career that might last decades. And then knowing the show is called The Acolyte, which to me speaks of somebody who at a relatively young age wants to be of the dark side.
Yes.
That's really interesting to me, of not meeting somebody who is, I don't know. It's not Dooku later in life. It's not crusty old Palpatine. It's not necessarily Anakin's story. So I'm really interested to see, what is the Acolyte? Is that someone coming from a culture like the Night Sisters, where the dark side is a part of your journey? And then I think where all the speculation comes from is the idea of the Acolyte. Is this somebody who's like, I have become aware that the Sith still exist and I want to be the protege. I'm vying for it. And that's where the speculation comes into me, is like, if that's true, then which Sith are around at this time, you know?
Yeah, and which Sith do they know about, everything? Yeah, I'm excited to what you're talking about. Again, we're so far out from it. I totally get that. But yeah, of a character going on some sort of just a journey where they have a strong sense of their identity and who they are and who they want to be. Absolutely thinks a performer like a man that can bring that to the table. I'm excited for that. And yeah, you're right. My I haven't seen Dear Evan Hansen. I apologize, but I definitely cried at Rue's death in the Hunger Games on screen and in book. So we know they're going to be a performer that brings the weight to the moment. But I think you're right, because it is the Acolyte. What choices are made to get to that point are intriguing to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, a different approach to the idea of the dark side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm going to guess the show's not making a case for it. I think they're examining why it's there and why people might be drawn to it and the dangers of it. Yeah. I don't know. That's early on. I was saying that because, a lot, you know, it's like, yes, there's a lot of names. We're from Plagueis and Revan and all these, you know. I don't think the show would be like, wasn't their perspective great?
There's that. And I also just think, I think it's totally understandable, since it's been mentioned that it's kind of at the end of this specific era of the High Republic. It could potentially involve Sith. I understand why people are floating towards what character do I already know might pop up. But I do think that Lucasfilm are playing very fair with us. It's called the Acolyte. Amanda Stenberg is playing the main character.
Yeah.
So even if characters that we already know or like might be involved, it sounds like this is a journey where Amanda's character is at least the lead of the ensemble.
Here's the final thing I want to talk about here, Joseph. Here, this is a great, just, you know, personal announcement. I do not want to take the joy away from Amanda Stenberg or the excitement of the Acolyte. So I'm threading a needle. Please help me thread this needle here. But I, you know, and again, no expectation of Star Wars news, big news coming out of the convention. That was not on the table, never on the table, no thought of it. And there was this thing that, hey, the Star Wars kind of like official Twitter folks saw Amanda was there. And I even saw a DJ at a couple parties, didn't get a chance to say hi, but you know, they were all there. So it was like, all right, Amanda's here. Let's go ahead and make this official, because they've all been sitting on this for a while. But a lot of Star Wars news comes out this way. Instagram posts, Favreau, Ron Howard, the number one source for Solo news for a while. Backdoor announcements, unofficial. And I any way that we get the news is fine for me. But in this era of rumors, I wanted to kick back to you this idea of how you feeling about that. What's good or fun about it? Because I think there's a lot of joy and natural kind of excitement to come out of things like this, like Amanda's post. And maybe is anything not working for you on this kind of style?
Yeah, I think the main thing that I always lead with is, boy, do I love clarity. We end up in rumors and, you know, things picked up in headlines and said is truth. So the number one thing I want out of news is clarity. And I feel like in this example, I got it, that the official Star Wars accounts had Amanda requested, approved, whatever it was, that Amanda's Instagram post was the announcement, and then immediately supported it. Right. So then so I get what I want, which is clarity about casting in any news. I want to hear it from Star Wars, from Lucasfilm, from Disney, because that's when it's real to me.
Yeah,
because when they don't like kind of support it, John Favreau's just like, here's the thing. You're like, is it? I mean,
is it?
it is, right? Because it's John Favreau's account. But like in this time where we so deeply need, not just for pop culture, but for the survival of democracy and frankly, the human race, we need honesty and clarity.
Yes.
I'm very obsessive on it. And the pop culture side of it is the least impactful, but we get in a habit of, we read a thing and it's true. So I love the clarity. Then there's this other side of it to me where I just feel like we're in a moment where the entertainment industry is certainly evolving, but also just marketing is really, really evolving and changing. Even in the last couple weeks, months, the Star Wars Twitter account has become more assertive and playful, right? Making more assertive statements about issues. I don't think I even hashtagged Star Wars in the official Star Wars account, you know, responded to an Emperor Palpatine joke I made with a screenshot from Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? Mm-hmm. And you see the Star Wars Twitter account doing that a bunch right now, really, really embracing social media and kind of the ways of social media and engaging with people where they're at. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this seems also like an extension of it where companies want fans to be excited. And a part of the way that shows in movies are being sold right now is with the weight of the fans of the performers. It's always hard to sell things in Hollywood. Hollywood really wants big name people attached so they can bring their fan base. And I think especially as we're getting more and more into the era of younger performers who have built up a following on social media, a relationship with fans on social media, it in some ways seems like a kind of more organic way to make the announcement rather than here's our fussy press release to Variety. Let the person say it in the way they kind of want to say it with their attitude and their energy. And I think in an instance like this, like it's one thing for Ron Howard or Jon Favreau, who are kind of an older generation. They have a lot of followers. But for Amandla Stenberg to put this out, this is an announcement to Star Wars fans, but it's also an announcement to Amandla Stenberg's 2.3 million fans on Instagram who now feel like they are a part of Amandla's journey and might give the show a chance, even if they're not familiar with Star Wars yet. So I just kind of feel like it's part of a push to put a little bit of the voice of promotion in the public faces and therefore get the fans of writers, creators, performers a little bit more excited and draw some new eyes in.
I love that. And I got to be honest, a little Star Wars canceling just happened right here, I think, with you and your words there. It's a force center. Well said indeed. I am from an older generation. And so I sometimes want the old, Dateline Coruscant, Star Wars is announced. I think because though I do want clarity, I at times almost, demand it nowadays because like you said, it's so easy to just take things and run. It's also to consider the sources and how the sources are getting the information. Sometimes I just don't approve of, and that's for me to make a sweeping judgment on them, I guess, and not to engage with some of the stories that are out there and some of the websites and stuff putting them out there. So sometimes I think to combat that, I just would like to see a little bit more official. StarWars.com, we always say, hey, here's the source. We used to joke back in the days, if Andy and Anthony are saying it, it's happening. Now it's Kristen Baver, and it's happening. I'm there for that. But I also very much understand and agree with what you're saying here. And this is why, again, I was trying to thread a needle. I didn't want any joy to be taken away from Amandla Stenberg because it was a great post. And I think you're right. It's very organic, and that is a way. I think whatever way can get Star Wars in front of rumor cycles and potential dangerous news cycles. I think before the TikTok came, and I want to shout out some of our Force Center listeners. It might be our wonderful old standby, Mark Canope, who shared it in the Discord section of Star Wars News. I think that's where I got it. Before that, I was a little worried that they clearly got permission to put that out there, right? You're not going to do that. But if they had just posted that and now a performer is left a cast adrift in a social media world that's can sometimes be harmful. I had that gut reaction of just get out in front of it all. But I think that then that TikTok comes out of, hey, they knew I was here. We decided to do this together. That makes a lot of sense. And then combined with what you're doing. Yeah, it is just a new way to look at it. And I want to make sure I'm pushing myself towards understanding the new ways. So anyways, all that to say, I really appreciate what you're saying. I actually get it a little bit more than me just going, don't let Ron Howard tweet out. Don't let Favreau. Because remember the day Favreau put that description out, there was absolute confusion.
Yeah, John Favreau, not you combined yeah. Dave and John. It was very nice.
Dave Favreau.
They will become one eventually.
They are one. John Favreau, that's hilarious. Yeah, that there was confusion that day. That was still at the Jedi Council days, and it was like, we were like, okay, what is this? Like, it's clearly officialist-ish. Like, I think I have some stain from that.
Well, I totally understand, because I feel like this is the good version of the actor, writer, director is making the announcement and
yes.
then immediately supported by the official account. This one works really well for me because this is Amandala announcing the beginning of a journey. And it's an announcement for Star Wars fans, but it's also an announcement for their fans from Amandala's perspective.
Yeah.
But I am also a little wounded, because compare that to the, is Hayden Christensen in the Ahsoka show or not, right?
Right.
That got reported as rumor. In that kind of rumor that all of the caveats disappear and it just gets spread around the internet. Everybody knows Hayden's in Ahsoka, right? Mm-hmm. And then we get that incident where, you know, Rosario Dawson thinks it's confirmed and tweets it out. And then there's an article in Vanity Fair saying, I got yelled at. Yeah. That whole thing, no, not pointing any fingers or blaming Rosario Dawson or criticizing her at all even. But that, I think, is what both you and I are thinking about.
Yes.
Of like, that's confusing and messy. And yeah, Hayden's probably in Ahsoka. That's probably a safe bet. But it is not officially announced, and there's mounds of confusion about it.
Yeah.
And I, we're just yelling at the clouds for clarity. That's all that is to say is, like, I get why you are kind of hesitant about these kind of announcements. I think this is the solid version of it, because it's supported.
Yeah, no, I very much agree with that. And the joy emanating from Amanda's post was completely catchy. Clearly, I love that. So yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, we are just yelling at clouds with onions tied to our belts, which was the style at the time. But we do want to create, and I want to make clear too, like, the Star Wars social team's been on fire lately. I think they're doing some great stuff. They're getting they are ahead of some of the things. They are kind of confronting things as best they can, and this is a little slightly different. Social is definitely tied into marketing. There are no interns running the Twitter pages. That's an insult. Do not go down that path, folks. Teams with a lot of thought that goes into it. The marketing is bigger and tied into Disney. This I know. But yeah, I think that was my gut reaction. I saw this. I was like, great post. Oh, but what does this mean? Where are we going? What are we doing?
Like all I said, first thing I did is went and checked. Like, I want to be excited, but I want to make sure this is for real.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, all that remains is joy and great fun anticipation for this series, The Acolyte, and Amandla Stenberg joining the Star Wars family. It was a lot of fun, too, to see people like Ahmed Best, Yonah Suadamo, and others joining in and commenting on their Instagram page. A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Agreed.
All right. That's our look at Star Wars news. But before we get out of here, we'll take a quick look at this week in Star Wars history, looking ahead to Star Wars Past and going a little bit far out here, July 31st, 2003. Where were you, Joseph? It's a key question, because George Lucas allowed subscribers to hyperspace on StarWars.com to choose the paint scheme of Obi-Wan's new astromech unit, R4-G9, in Revenge of the Sith. Joseph, how many times did you vote?
I am trying so desperately to remember if I voted, because I was having some financial challenges on July 1st, 2003, that my partner, my live-in partner at the time, was very rightfully concerned with some of my spending choices, as I struggled to make rent, but still found money for Star Wars and hard mics at the bar. So I can't remember if I still had the hyperspace membership or not. I was in the middle of doing a bunch of theater stuff. I had just got back from doing two Shakespeare shows up at a wonderful city right by Lake Superior. And then I was getting ready for the big Fringe Festival. So I might have missed this. It's entirely possible I missed this, which hurts my soul, because I want to believe I voted for R4-G9 colors.
I can tell you this. I did not. I did not. I definitely was on the internet at this time. In fact, I was writing for an internet music website by Tiny Mixtapes back in like 01, 2002 range. So I was definitely poking around the internet, but I don't remember going to StarWars.com at all. just
I went there like almost every day in this time period. So I might not have had access to hyperspace anymore.
Mm, there you go. There you go. So I did not vote there. An interesting thing. And I just love that. I'd love to know, exclusive footage there, documentary footage of them sitting down with George to go, hey, we got an idea. Are you good for this? And him just going, in these paint schemes, none of it matters. None of it matters. Sure. Sure.
Give them. Sure. That's fun.
What would we want to see voted on now in the Star Wars fandom? Could that, we've gotten figures that's at, what figure do you want next? Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. But actual stuff in the movies or shows, that's a dangerous, dangerous game, Joseph. But anything come to mind?
Oh, yes. I think R4 G9's color palette is the exact right level to vote on. So I would love things like, hey, we're going to another watering hole in Mandalorian season 4. Pick one of these background aliens, or mm-hmm. hey, there's going to be a minor Jedi in the background of a High Republic comic. Pick the design. Hey, there's a nightclub singer in Andor season 2. Maybe if there is in Obi-Wan season 2, he's going to have a drink at a bar. What color should the drink be?
Yeah, yeah.
Any of those I'd be thrilled about because it gives us this fun sort of like, oh, wow, we got to vote. We got to, kind of be involved. I think anything more major than that for me, just starts to kind of confuse this already, I think right now, kind of tortured relationship between artist and audience,
Yeah.
I think for me, the artists make, the audience reacts. We vote with our dollars and our view time and our podcast and social media opinions. I think for me, I just wouldn't want to get into anything too substantive because I think it does start to make it feel like I am the customer of Star Wars and the customer is never wrong. So I need this ship to be this, or I need this character to show up. Dangerous. I think
Jennifer Landa yelled once on this podcast and her own content, Star Wars is not Burger King. You cannot have it your way. I think you're right. There could be some fun stuff. Here's what it is. We should go to, exclusive subscribers to StarWars.com can pick the Sith Lord that will appear in The Acolyte.
You can rewrite the third episode of season 2 of Andor. Yeah. No. So what kind of, if it is the kind of background fun, minor stuff, what kind of stuff would you be interested in getting a vote on for fun?
I do think names of droids can be okay. Ooh. I mean, I know I said names, not colors, but even a name here in the background, because it would be that, a background droid, like it would be Gonky 9 or something like that. I don't know. But that can all, you can, as long as there's no write-in, candidates, I don't want a weird push we've seen before. And even just, wasn't there some ship that got a very inappropriate name in someone's Navy or so? I can't remember. It was someone out there remember what I'm talking about. Here's a list of 4 choices. It's an R4 G10, R4 G8, G9, what will it be? Or I like, a name of a drink or something like that. Like, what is Obi-Wan?
Oh, yeah.
Drinking? Yeah.
But it really does have to be a multiple choice, not a fill in the blank, right? Or yes. That's how you end up with Droidy McDroid face.
Thank you. You remember, right?
Bodhi McBoat face. Yes. It is a lesson that everyone should always remember of what happens when you ask the internet.
Yes, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. But that happened July 31st, 2003, in the build-up towards Revenge of the Sith. That's our look at this week in Star Wars history. We are almost out of here. Before we do, we're going to let you know where you can find us. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We are on Instagram and YouTube as well. July 29th, if you're listening at the time of this release, July 29th, Friday, 4 p.m. Pacific, live Q&A. And we're going to begin kind of a fun countdown to Andor kind of conversation. But we're going to mostly taking your questions. Me, Joseph, and who knows, we'll stop by this Friday on our YouTube page. Subscribe if you haven't. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We are on Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcast, and more. Just search, you'll find us. And if there's a rating and review system there and you'd be so kind, we'd really appreciate that. Helps people find the show. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter as well. Thanks for those who came out to the American Comedy Company on Thursday for information on other shows we got going on. You can go to kenapsock.com. Going to be at Flapper's Big Show on July 30th if you're in town local here to LA. You can follow me at Kadnapsock for a charity spotlight this week. Do want to go back to highlighting one that I highlight from time to time here. It means a lot to us in California. The Cal or CAFireFoundation.org. The California Fire Foundation is an organization that provides emotional and financial assistance to families of fallen firefighters, firefighters in the communities they protect. There's a big fire, I think they're calling it the Oak Tree Fire, right up now in Mariposa, which is just outside one of my favorite places in the world, Yosemite. And it is, at the time of this recording, uncontrolled. Yep, it's something we deal with a lot now. So that's why I support this organization, which does what it can to, like I said, provide emotional and financial assistance, not just to firefighters, but the communities they protect that take the brunt of nature's wrath here. Joseph, where can they find you and what's on your mind?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. More unboxing videos coming up of my action figures. You can also go to my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all of my other comedy adventures, including a live show coming up at the Great Convention in Minneapolis in August. That convention is called Convergence. If you're attending or you want to attend, there are links on there to my entire schedule at the convention, including my new stand-up show that I am working away on. I also want to continue to promote Vote Forward. It is a service that allows you to write letters to voters, encouraging them to use their power and vote. I think that it is easy to decide that voting, it doesn't make that big of a difference, but it really does, especially if you're looking all the way down the ballot at all the different things to vote for, all the different things that are at stake. I think it is great to use your power. So that's what I do. I write those letters, trying to convince people to use their power. If you are interested, you can check out the website at votefwd.org.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Good stuff as always. Well, that is it, my friend. So for all the dark side users about to appear in the Acolyte, for Joseph, I'm Ken, and for Jennifer out on vacation, we'll see you next time. This was Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.